the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Therapy starts now. It's the Kerr's Hire AFLW Cat Attack Podcast. Tom King and the number one from the Cats, Michaela Bowen. Hello, Bowie.
Weekly rituals. Hi, Kingy. How you doing?
I'm going okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just okay.
Yeah, a good okay.
Yes.
Not okay. Okay.
On the upper side okay. Of okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm on the plus 50% side yes. Of okay. No, I'm going okay. My golf could be better.
Okay, we haven't spoken about golf before.
Can I just quickly talk about somebody who might be a very handy golfer?
Go.
Just taking it up.
Yeah.
Rocky Cranston.
Yeah, no way. How'd you figure this out? Did you go with her?
Well, no, we've been talking. So we shared a car to the AFLW season launch.
Yep.
And
I saw you guys there. It was awesome.
We've had conversations before, but probably air in a car with somebody, you learn some stuff about people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, yeah, Rockstar's just taken up golf.
Yep.
Got a handicap, 15 if you don't mind.
See, I play enough golf to have a swing with you at the driving range, but I don't quite understand what a handicap means. So my housemate's a golfer.
So let's say most courses are a par 72.
Yep.
15 tells you that you will play the course in 87.
So a little bit over par, which is a pretty good handicap to have.
Yep.
Okay, wow.
So she's got 15, and she will play off single figures very soon, I would have thought.
Love that.
I've seen
Shout out to you, Rocky.
I have seen her swing.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Well, if she swings anywhere close to the way that she played footy, it would have a lot of force behind it.
But you know she also won the local Geelong Baseball Association.
No.
I think she won their MVP award. She played with my wife. They played in a premiership team.
It's incredible.
Over winter.
Yeah.
And they're both in the All-Star team. I'm living my life vicariously through my wife's
sporting I love that.
And Rocky was, a standout. She absolutely smokes.
What can't she do?
And this is
you're talking to me about golf 1 second, and now we're speaking about baseball and the fact that she's won MVP.
Yeah, this is all while she's battling a kidney issue as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like being on dialysis and stuff like that, which is quite incredible.
It's tenfold on top of it, and that's far out. Good on you, Rocky.
Yep. Let's see how she'd go in a go-kart. She'd probably be pretty good at that as well.
Oh, I'd have to buy mine back first before we could make that happen, but eventually we'll get there.
How are you?
I'm good, Kingy. I will say I'm good. Do you know what? You said you're the higher side of okay, like you're okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm good.
Okay.
So I'm like maybe the lower percentile of good, which maybe that is actually the higher percentile of the okay.
Okay.
So maybe we're actually feeling the same. but no, Kingy, I'm going good. I'm going well. I would say if anything's slightly getting me. It's just the fatigue at this point in the season. I just spoke to it's just at recovery actually, and one of the guys down at P3 in Geelong. Shout out to them. We're using their facilities at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Was having a chat around just the concept of how long the men's season is. When you think about we're in round 9 of the AFLW, and I'm sitting here most mornings being like, I'm forcing myself to get out of bed. I'm feeling it's impacting me throughout the day, trying to stay on top of that to make sure you are, feeling less and less fatigued with nutrition, recovery, all sorts. And we're in round 9. What's there in the men's? 24, 22, 24?
23 they play.
23 rounds plus potentially finals.
Yep.
Like, so we're not even halfway through the men's season.
So the men played a match sim or a glorified practice match mid-February.
Yes. Yep.
And they played them basically until last Saturday in September. So they went 7 months.
It's a year round.
And they'll be back in training. Although the Cats boys, they'll get their 8 weeks, so they probably won't be sighted until early December, I wouldn't have thought.
Which still, that's before the start of next year. Yeah. Like it's full on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They are well paid for it though.
Absolutely.
Where else can you find a job to do that?
Oh,
that pays that.
It's exactly what you're saying, Kingy, and I think, you often get moments where you sit here and you're forcing yourself to get out of bed, but in the same sense, people are forcing themselves to get out of bed to go to the gym before their full-time job.
Yep.
Like this is our job. This is our, which, some people can find that a bit grey to look at a sporting career as a job, but I personally find it just gives me so much more gratitude in terms of what I'm doing and the fact I'm spending my day-to-day out in the sunshine, hopefully not too much wind, but kicking footy around with my mates.
What about the fact you actually wore zinc on Sunday?
Did I ever?
Yep.
I rocked it. I loved it. I think the last time I wore zinc was West Coast.
Yep.
Um, whether it was my last game. It was a significant game. Either it was my last game or it was the game I got my Rising Star nomination. Okay. So I have good memories with Zinc. I thought of you about with what you were talking to me about, Kingy, and I was like, I have to do this man honour and protect myself from the UVs. So,
well played. And you might need to do it on Saturday too.
Yeah, what are we looking at?
No, hang on.
Saturday, I think it's 20s. I've put you on the spot there, Kingy.
Hang on.
We're actually doing some heat and altitude training at the moment because of this. Yeah. TRSNC has put an extra program in on top of what we're doing.
And then you're going to Perth the week after.
Exactly that. So it took partly acclimatised for the past weekend, which was some of the driest heat I think I've ever played in, 27 degrees. This weekend will be
partly cloudy, high chance of showers, most likely in the morning and afternoon. Winds northwesterly 25 to 35, tending westerly during the morning, then becoming light during the evening for a top of 19.
Okay. So maybe not as...
And 0 to 3 mil of rain.
So it's going to be wet?
Could be.
Okay. Well, zinc or no zinc? Maybe no zinc. But the UVs can still bite you through the clouds.
Yes, hang on. Does it give me the UV as well? UV will be, I know, moderate fire danger rating. Oh, no, UV is high. It's a 7.
Yeah, yep. Which oftentimes it is that when it's overcast.
Sun protection recommended between 10 and 4:10.
Mm-hmm. Did you write this yourself?
No, this is on the bomb. This is on the bomber.
I don't doubt that. I'm pulling your kingy. Yeah, but in terms of we've got West Coast in WA the following week afterwards and have no doubt that's going
to
be...
When are you going home? Do you get to go a little bit earlier?
I am going to go the same time as the team. I'm going to stay a bit longer.
Okay.
I think we play on the Friday, which is
late.
Daylight savings, 6 o'clock time, Melbourne.
Yeah, so 9. Yeah, so
I think it's 9:15 when we start Melbourne time.
Yeah, which is great because I will be in the Baruga Sports Club.
Yes.
Having played golf that afternoon at Token Wall.
Yeah.
I'll probably be drinking responsibly.
Yes, we love this.
And, cheering.
Cheering on for a very important game for us, as is every single upcoming game.
you're playing elimination finals now.
Oh, absolutely. Every week, as I asked post the Carlton game, which unfortunately couldn't get over the line, as with multiple results this year. But speaking to Jackie Parry around, she's a lot more in tune with the ladder predictor, with finals. I'd stay out of that stuff personally, but I said to her, I'm like, so... Like, what does this look like for us? I try not to put too much weight onto that, but she was like, oh, well, before the loss today, like, we had to win 4 out of the next 5 to be a chance.
Yep.
And now we've lost this one, so now it's 4 out of 4.
You've got to win out.
We've got to win every game, and convincingly would be ideal.
Yep. Yeah, you need to find some percentage. So it starts with the Giants this week. How's your black eye? You don't know how you got a black eye.
I don't. No, this is out of all ones we should have recorded. I have no proof of the listeners to... convince them of my black eye, but it's not gone away.
No.
Never had one before. It was, I think the doc was saying post because it wasn't as dark, but it was just swollen, whether it was a blood vessel or something. Now it's come out a bit, but at the time I couldn't really see it because my zinc was in the way.
So it wasn't a head injury assessment or anything like that?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mentioned to a couple of the girls, that was probably one of the most battered I've felt after a game. Like I've still got this black... coating over my knees. I thought was dirt. It's not dirt. It's clearly just paint that is like, I've scrubbed my knees that many times. I've got scratches on my back, hips, everything. I've got a black eye. I've got a shock and corky in my the back of my ITB just before.
Was that when you
taking a set shot?
Was that taking the mark before you hit the goal?
Oh God, it killed. I was like, my knees just twisted. My ankle's twisted. I've been corked, so my hammy shot and now my calf shot as well. But I've got to try and do this for us girls.
But you'll be right for this week.
Yeah. We'll be sweet.
You weren't on the injury report, so.
No, we'll be sweet. I'm just, just doing some extra recovery and fueling myself extra this week.
What was your goal celebration?
My goal celebration, and she didn't even know. I have been referred to as the backpack by many in terms of jumping on Darbs' back. It was actually Pride Round last year against Richmond.
Yep.
And Darbs kicked a goal in the dying minutes. We didn't end up getting across the line against the Tigers.
You jumped on her back.
And I jumped on her back. And ever since I think I clearly have a bit of a rep throughout the media team around getting around the celebrations. And so there was, I think Jake, who I've mentioned before in the media team, he put together a compilation of all my sellies from last year and he was rating them out of 10. And he rated that one, I think it was like a 10 out of 10, and he called it the backpack. Right. And so I just, would have loved to be playing with Darbs last week. As I mentioned, she's one of my best mates, and I thought if I could do a tribute to her, that was what that was.
What about this?
Backpack, 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 on the back.
Did you have that planned?
No.
That was just impromptu.
Yeah.
Do you know we get to choose our goal song? Like every time we kick a goal, we get to choose our song. That has to be my celebration song. That was great.
So you know who that is?
No.
That's Dora.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know who sings it, but I remember it from Dora.
No,
yeah.
That is Dora singing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. Swipe no swiping. I remember that.
I played in a mixed netball team.
Yeah.
Called Swiper.
Did you? No way. Was that your 3-2-1 swiper no swiping?
Yeah. And we won a premiership because it was about. Oh, I played in it with my wife, and I think my daughter was.
Did you actually? That's so cool.
18
That's
months awesome. Old, and yeah. she into Dora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swiper no swiping. Yeah. Swiper.
That's awesome.
No swiping.
Yes.
Oh man.
That's how we got to open the next potty, I reckon. Make something out of it.
Right, so that's your celebration.
That was what my celebration was on the weekend. I try, I don't know, I just love getting around it. I find it's a way to, like, oftentimes I've done some with Neans last year and the season before, and it's just a way to, sometimes I think we get so caught up in getting the job done, and, like, in situations like that, I find you can bring a bit of a lightness into the game. You can get your girls involved with it, and also like what the weekend was for me. Like, I wanted Dubs, and I was thinking about done one for Meg Mac before, which was that everyone thinks it's a dance, but it was actually a hula hoop.
That was last year,
round one. And I was doing a lot of kick practice with Meg and Will Sexton in the preseason. And Secco told me, he's like, at any point in time, you'll kick, like, try and put it in the confines of a hula hoop.
Yep.
Don't, like, extend out and lose your balance. And so I pinned the ears back, put that one through the goals, and I was like, that's for you.
That's why you did the hula hoop.
Yes.
Right.
Everyone thinks it's a dance.
Because it's quite funny.
I've got to explain it to, like, I've got to, like, mouth it to the camera after I do it so people have some more context.
Right. So, because I think, and this, just bear with me here, if you give me a moment, let me just have a look and see what I can find here, because we called that goal last year.
Did you?
Yes, that was round one.
Round one against Melbourne. Yeah.
Let me see if we can find the audio. We're just doing this on the fly, match audio, AFLW week one.
I wonder if... Will you be able to find the specific moment?
Nah, I can't find it. No,
you'll have to prep it for next week.
You weren't goal of the day. Rachel Kearns actually was goal of the day that day.
Oh, did she just... She came off from the back line, and she smacked one off a boot.
Yes.
It was, very impressive. Yeah. We're all jumping on her back after that.
Yes.
So cool. Very, very cool.
What happens if somebody is... the backpack... We'll get back to Rachel in a moment. What if somebody is the backpack before you? Do you get upset?
What do you mean?
Like, they jump on the back of somebody before you get there.
No one does that.
It's just you.
No one does that. I think that's why I'm like, gals, like, we could get a bit more energy for each other in these moments. And some girls, I'm sure, are sitting there being like, looking at me, running towards and being like, can you just give me a breather? But, like,
cause you're the only,
I love them too much.
Because you're the only small person who can get off the ground, because I can't see Spud climbing up on the back. Although she got
she
up.
She did.
Yes.
She did 2 weeks ago against, who was it, Hawthorn?
Yep.
Against Hawthorn. She was running, playing as a bit of a chief, a bit of a tall forward for us down, deep forward for us. Put a knee up. It would have been a mark of the year nom if she had
hung on to it.
Put hands onto it. Yeah, got one of those this weekend, Jackie Parry.
So, yes.
Unreal mark.
You made the highlights.
Did I?
This week. You were the promo for this week's game because of your goal celebration.
Oh, yes.
Just wish I had a note with the backpack.
Yes.
Can you, not here, but if you do have one for this week, can you just privately tell me?
Yeah,
so
cool.
So I know when the call to say that's what you're doing.
You love to have the background context.
It's always good to have context.
It's good for me too, because even Darbs came up to me, she said, what were you selling? Like, what was your selling? I was like, mate, that was for you. I thought out of anyone, you would have picked up on that.
That's my backpack. Right. So
yes.
Well done, Dora.
Well done, Dora. Swiper, no swiping.
You're getting that into... I'm getting that into the call this week. I've managed to get... because having daughters who are... Well, they're not young, but... Yeah. You know, the youngest daughter's into the Sing movies.
Yes. So Sing 2. Wow. Yep. The gorilla.
Yes.
Yes. What's his name? No, it's not Marty. Oh, shit. Joey? No. I need to stop asking such specific questions.
All I know is my favourite character is Klaus Klickenklobber, who's the leader of the... You know, got the very campy theatre director.
What animal is it?
He's
that would help me.
Oh, I don't know. He's he's the one with the German accent.
Okay.
Or the Dutch accent.
I wouldn't have thrown myself. Klaus
Klickenklobber.
I love that.
Yeah, it's very funny. So, when Sing 2 is 2021. What animal is he? I don't know. I'm having a look. There's
pigs, gorillas.
Hang on.
Zebras.
He's a proboscis monkey.
So a monkey.
Yep.
For those that speak English on here, a monkey.
Proboscis monkey. Proboscis monkey, yes. Klaus Klickenklobber. A harsh and prideful proboscis monkey dance instructor.
Yes. Right. So this is, I'm assuming this is my homework.
Yes.
To go home and watch this or something.
Yeah. Yeah, tippy toes is the number.
Yeah, okay.
Which gets a little bit of a run in our household.
Do you have the gorilla yet?
What's
his name?
Please hold.
Let's get Darbs and her daughter Ella on here. She knows him.
Johnny.
Yeah. I said Joey. Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
Johnny the gorilla.
Who's voiced by Taron Egerton, for those who know their actors and actresses.
I'm not going to say that's me.
No.
Sorry.
Not me. Pharrell Williams.
Pharrell Williams, yes.
Voices. Scarlett Johansson voices somebody. Mm-hmm. Reese Witherspoon. Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
All have voices in it.
Yep, okay. I
which
know
is impressive.
Names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's your little bit of homework.
How did we get to this?
Your goal celebration. Anyway, no, I managed to get a line from Sing 2.
Into the commentary.
Into an AFL men's commentary.
Really?
When somebody stuffed up a kick.
Yeah.
And there's a line, that is terrible, horrible, terribly poor, really bad.
Yeah.
I got that into the
court. He's that passionate about it.
That was for my 10-year-old.
Yeah, beautiful. I love when he, like you've just mentioned, that's a tribute to your family. I love seeing AFL players do that as well,
and
oftentimes.
I get to have a bit of fun in commentary.
Don't you? Best part about it.
I said the word prideful. It's Pride Round.
Pride Round.
And the design is inspired by you from last year.
Yeah, a bit of, I would say I had a fair share in trying to pull the concept together, but yep. I definitely wouldn't take ownership for the design because there were so many people involved within
it. You an influencer?
An influencer. A Pride influencer on the Guernsey from last year, and yeah, lucky enough to be pulling that on again this year, but the whole basis of that jersey in itself was to highlight what Pride means to everyone, and because there are so many people involved without that jumper, the middle hoop being specific words around...
Now you need to tell us what your specific words were, because
absolutely.
Our favourite little town gets a mention.
Which town?
Doesn't Darlington?
Darlington, yeah. Rycroft Road, Darlington is my... And it's written on... Which, again, is so personal for me to be able to play in, and people ask the same question, what does that mean?
Is that still there this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Rycroft Road, Darlington is still on
now,
the middle hoop.
I know why, but can you tell our listeners why?
The listeners, yes. That was my childhood home, Rycroft Road, Darlington. Obviously grew up in WA, and it was also where my Pride journey began. It was where I first felt like I built up the courage to tell my mum that that's how I was feeling. Again, it was a moment for me that mum ended up being like, I love you, but I'm not really surprised. I saw it coming. But again, regardless of whether you see it coming or not, it was a big moment for me, but also one, Kingy, that we've mentioned before. Like, ideally, in the future, I hope with my kids, like, that doesn't have to be a moment like that, a coming out moment. But that was the moment for me back at that place, and a place where I feel like I really, learned a lot about myself, my childhood, grew up with my brother, my mum. And so, I was speaking to Susie from our media team, because going back there obviously in 2 weeks to WA, and she potentially wants to do a piece, piece, just get some signage of Rycroft. I haven't been back there for, I'm moved out of, when did we move to North Perth? Mum's going to know. I don't know.
Hi, Mum.
I don't know when I move, but I wouldn't have been back to Darlington for a good number of years. So it'd be really special not only to get back there personally, but to have a link there with Geelong and them willing to tell my story as well, which is really special.
The jumper looks fantastic. So it's a 2-year design. Usually everything gets changed after. There'll be a new design for 2026, but available at the Cat Shop.
Yep.
I watched the video back this morning.
From last year. Yeah, right. I haven't seen that since.
But you're in a long sleeve jumper.
Yeah, I know. I got stitched. I think I was actually wearing Georgie Prasparkas' jumper. Yeah.
What did you think? Well, there was no number on the back.
Oh, well, no. Maybe it was just a. Maybe hers was going to get printed on there.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Did it suit me?
The long sleeves.
Could I pull it off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. I actually think the Pride jumper looks better in the long sleeves because the fact that the rainbow is being able to be continued.
The Geelong jumper as a whole looks good as a long sleeve.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Jimmy Bartel made it look good.
Yeah. 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 I couldn't agree more. I think, I'm not going to name and shame clubs here, but I think there's some club colours that just don't work. It's just too, like, it's such a bold colour on the sleeves, which, like, again, each to their own. I just think they look slightly like rashies. I don't think that's the case with Geelong. I think, and it's impressive for those that choose to go with a longy and commit to them. Like, I know no one more than Georgie Press-Barkas when it comes to committing to a long sleeve. Like I mentioned last week, 27 degrees, which for my fellow WA listeners or family, it's not that hot, but in Victoria, it is so dry.
For the moment.
It's so hot. It's so dry. It was probably one of the harshest conditions I've played in.
Yeah,
And Georgie's running around in a long sleeve. Yeah. She's pulled out the singlet once or twice this year for training.
Yep.
Whether or not she ends up doing that in a game will be completely up to her.
That will be the. There's been a couple of hotter days. I reckon Georgie's worn the long sleeves.
I reckon early
in her career when we were the January February season.
Yeah, she's still wearing it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the commitment to it is next level.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Brad Close has.
Yes.
Had to put away the long sleeve.
He didn't wear it one round.
I reckon round one against Freo.
And that's what I mean. Everyone ends up speaking about it. Like,
and it's like, oh, no, put that long sleeve back on. It just doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right, does it? I know. It's so interesting how that happens.
So, yes, Pride Round. What does Pride Round mean to you?
I love this question. We have just released a video. Geelong Cats Media, I think there's Amy McDonald, Nina Morrison and Kate Darby speaking a bit about what their inputs were on the jumper specifically, what pride means to them. And again, I think this is a question that for me I will answer in similar but a different form each time I hear it, because I think there's just so many different layers to what pride means to me. But first and foremost, just being proud of the fact that not only I feel like I can be who I really am and be loved and accepted for that, but in me doing that, I'm allowing others to do the same.
Yep.
I think AMAC spoke really beautifully about that on the media piece around, the idea of in society in general and the work that we're doing to make the world a better place. I think when it comes to being an athlete and having sport as a platform to do that, like, I think we're very much behind the curve if we are not to take this seriously and recognise the kind of impact that we can have on not only the Pride community but the youth coming through as well, and seeing that not only can you be comfortable in your own skin being who you are, but also, which unfortunately has been the case, that there's a stereotype that people within the Pride community can't do certain things or are certain things or that, you know, those are just stereotypes, and you don't have to look a certain way, you don't have to act a certain way, you don't have to speak a certain way to be who you are. Like we've mentioned before, Kingy, I think I would love it to not necessarily be such a hot topic. I understand why it is, and sitting across from you now, and for the listeners, Kingy is such an incredible supporter of the Pride community, sitting there wearing a Nike tee with rainbow colourings through it. And, for me, we had a joke about it in the lift on the way up, but that's visibility to me that, says a lot more than words can do. And I think that's the impact we can have as athletes.
And it's a bloody nice top, too.
It's a wicked top. I love it.
Yeah, no, Vegas, I reckon I got it.
Yeah, no way. Yep. It's awesome.
Oh, I just saw it.
How long ago?
3 years.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Well,
rainbow colours look nice on stuff. So
that's what I mean, though, Kingy, when it comes to, the rainbow representing something at the moment. I would love to be able to get to, and maybe this is naive for me, but, like, rainbows are rainbows because they're pretty or they're, like, and they obviously represent such diversity and an enormous, an enormous portion of our community and our world. Like, but I would love to get to a point where, like we've mentioned, you don't have to come out. It doesn't have to be an exclusive thing, but I understand why at the moment it does, because it hasn't been for so long.
Yep. 2:35 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're 2:30, we're on air, sorry. 3:05, bounce.
Yep.
So get there. There's obviously been some discussion this week about AFLW and just maybe that has stagnated a little bit, crowds especially. I think it was Lauren Woods written about in the Herald Sun. Are there any changes? Like, as a player, are you comfortable with where the game sits at the moment, or does it need some tweaking?
It's such a big question. It's such a big question, and I'll try to say as succinct as I can around it, because as with a lot of things, Kingy, like, there's so many different opinions on this. Yeah. I know you've asked specifically from a playing perspective, and realistically, like, am I currently satisfied with where it's at? I am so grateful for the opportunity, but I think we have to get to a point where I can sit here comfortably and say no. No, I'm not satisfied with where it's at. I think there are a lot of things, whether that's, as we've mentioned before, competition, time of year, how many games are played, you know, the fairness of the competition in itself and what that looks like and the fact that we don't play everyone once a year or at all. So there's a whole range of things. But in terms of crowd engagement, and it's been a really interesting one comparing this season versus previous ones. And I think it's 2023, we had a really decent run. Geelong in the women's end up making a prelim. Against Brisbane over in Queensland.
I did watch that at the Baruga Sports Club as well.
Did you?
There's a bit of a theme.
Well, we lost that one, so I hope that doesn't happen.
When you're on the road, I seem to be in the Baruga Sports Club and sitting there going, gee, they win tonight. I'm probably calling a game of footy next week. Barracking for that, going, oh,
preempting.
I think I've got something to do next week. But as it finished, it didn't work that way. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, please. Drinking waters, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Brown bubbly ones.
But no, I was just going to mention on the contrast between, we're in 2025 now, last season we struggled, didn't make finals, had some moments here and there, but I genuinely think that has such a big impact on, and I think from a fan perspective as well, like the more momentum a team has, the more likely you are to, this is just the prime reality, to get around them, to support them, to show up. I think in the women's especially, we have one of our biggest issues is actually getting people to show up. I think the in terms of the membership and people buying memberships or watching on TV, I definitely think that's increasing. And we speak about the numbers of Geelong fans who are men's members that have also gone and bought a women's membership as well, which, again, I sit here with such gratitude as we speak about this in that sense. But we often get messaging around, I think Dan speaks quite strongly around the fact that we love your support financially and the purchase of a membership, but like we need you there ideally. And I can understand that at different times, different situations, that's a big ask, but it comes with the territory. I think I've recently heard Christian Petrarca speak about that from a Melbourne perspective, in terms of, you know, it's hard kind of running out when it's like he was saying is Melbourne. I'm absolutely not at all saying that this is the case with our Geelong fan base. I think we're one of the luckiest clubs in the league. But obviously Melbourne have struggled to put wins on the board, get performances. Their grand final year, I think their support would have been people are showing up. And it's so that's in conclusion, I think that's probably where I'm sensing it at the moment is like the less momentum we have, the less kind of physical showing up support there has been, which, again, I'm a fan as well of multiple sports, and it just puts back onto us as players to play better footy and get back on the winning path. And, again, there's no pointing fingers here or there. That's purely observational. And, you know, I think there's from the broader piece a lot that the AFL can do to help us out with that as well. Yes. We're trying to play the best footy we can at the moment.
Do you think there's footy fatigue that people get to the end of the men's season and
absolutely
think that's it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think we spoke off air about this, on air. On or off air, around the we just speak so much, Kingy. Yes. I get confused. Around the in terms of the men's and the women's season and the length of that, I'm speaking to you about the fact that I'm feeling fatigued at round nine.
Yeah.
But realistically, fans of AFL in general have been watching footy, like we mentioned, from the, you know, probably the preseason matches, the start of the year, to the point where you know, now you get to a point, and from a women's perspective, it's like, yeah, it'd be great to, you know, get more viewership or get you down to the footy. And I can completely understand if there's, you know, fans sitting there being like, well, we still love yous and we support what you're doing, but like we've been doing this footy thing all year. For a lot of people, it's cricket season. Like we're moving into a different phase of sport, and so that's probably where, from a playing perspective, you know, you can think so much, but it would help to potentially look at structuring the season a different way. So then, you know, we've spoken about this before, whether or not you intertwine the men's and the women's, is that more detrimental to the women's comp because you're comparing products as well, or is that actually going to be beneficial and we can use that as leverage to boost both?
Because the NRL have just come off the NRLW grand final. It's a shorter season.
Broncos,
They've played their grand final
as,
I don't know, the NRLW... It's a really good watch.
Yeah.
It's a good... And I don't know... And tell me if I'm wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
NRLW, the skill execution is different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So less players for a start. So 13 on the field as opposed to your 16 on the field.
Yeah.
Basically, it's catching and throwing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're the skill that most of the people have to have on the field. And some strength, obviously, to carry the ball up for those who play in the front row.
For sure.
You only need a couple of people who need to be able to kick.
Yeah.
So the one that, you know, there's those who can kick for position, field position, and those who keep place kick for try conversions or penalties.
Yeah.
Australian rules, your skill set is so much greater.
Yeah.
In terms of kicking, marking, handballing.
Bouncing.
Obviously, bouncing.
Yeah.
Tackling and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's really interesting that, and more people have to do that. It's
whole ground's expected to do that.
The aesthetic of NRLW is potentially, well, no, I think it is at the moment better than AFLW because there's less
room for error, expectation. Yep. Kingy, I love the way you've spoken about that. And
it's not a 360 degree sport.
Yeah.
It's two lines running at each other.
Yeah.
Whereas,
AFL's just here, there, everywhere.
Yeah.
100%. And again, this is such an interesting topic to speak about and such an awesome perspective that you've given. I will absolutely own the fact that NRL is not one of my biggest watches, but watched it enough, watched both the grand finals, women's and the men's. And I don't think you're off with that at all in terms of the expectation from a viewing perspective. And I think there's parts of me that wishes this wasn't the case, but it's also realistic because I also am a victim. I also am a culprit of doing this in terms of comparing one against the other. And you're comparing men's rugby to women's rugby. There's a lot less room for disparity in terms of, like you mentioned, fundamentally than there is with the men's and the women's AFLW. Yep. So you're watching the men's AFL, and in terms of how far they're kicking it, how accurate they are, how strong they are, how all these things are on display, to the point where as an AFLW player, there is so much more to be held accountable to, which I completely agree with what you're saying.
And NRLW isn't playing to a holding the ball rule.
That is.
I watched your game on Sunday.
Yeah.
It felt like players actually didn't want to take possession of the ball, which goes completely against
what AFL is.
Yep.
Did you hear, I think it was Daniel Harford was commentating potentially the North versus Sydney game.
Yep.
He made some very similar comments around the toe poking that's going on.
Yep.
The toe poking, the paddling, everyone's just trying to keep the ball live at the moment. And again, there's what the AFL has always been is to prioritise the person who goes in for the hard ball for contested footy. And I think I understand in the women's at the moment, from an umpiring perspective, we're trying to keep the game flowing. We're trying to reduce stoppages. We're trying to get a bit more of an excitable watch for the fan base. But in the same sense, as a player, footy's hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
It is so unpredictable. The biggest thing from a club perspective at the moment that we're speaking about is that regardless of what's going on, we need to play to the whistle.
Yeah.
It's just the state of where it's at the moment. The team that's playing to the whistle better and for longer, more consistent with the way they're playing. Because I think there was a lot of times on the weekend where, and to our fault, I think from Geelong perspective, we're expecting things to be called, which, again, you can argue either side. It's like, well, it's there to be called, so call it. But also it's not being called, so continue to play.
You could keep playing. Yep.
But it's harder. The game's hard enough to read already, and there's a really interesting interpretation.
And you've got to make a decision on the fly about something you probably shouldn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should just, you should never assume.
Yeah.
But I think you get to a point in your career point in the game where you go, well, hang on, no, that's where there's a stop there.
100%. 100%. And I think, I just briefly before I came in here read an article around, I think that from a Geelong perspective, there was somewhat of a dispute with the Carlton game and some feedback given, just questioning, I think, what is and what isn't the consistency with umpiring at the moment. I don't know if that was then broadened to be league-wide, but there was an article that came out around the fact that the AFL have produced, enough to come back to say that they are actually satisfied with the holding the ball interpretation from this last round gone. So, again, when it comes to what I run onto the field with as a player, I don't think there's much more you can do. I think it's it would be detrimental to go into the game trying to figure this out play by play. And so the simplest way you can approach it, because there's already a million and one things to think about on the field, is to, as I've mentioned, play to the whistle, try to adapt, try and just get it's so hard, but trying to get so caught up on things that you thought were going to happen and didn't happen and just continue to play.
So you play the Giants this week. The update is that Cora Staunton no longer plays because Geelong Geelong have never beaten the Giants.
Yeah. Wow. No way. Was that I don't think I've played them in a Geelong jumper. They wouldn't have played them since...
Season 6 was the last time Geelong and GWS.
Yeah. Was that in a final?
No.
Was that
home and away, 2022.
Okay.
So it's first season of 22.
Yep.
And Cora Staunton kicked 4 goals.
Yeah. Cora Staunton. How old was she?
She was 53, I think.
Was she not 40?
Yes, she was. Yeah.
41? Would kick 5 or 6 per week?
Yeah, she was incredible to watch.
Not that Lingy's anywhere near that age, but I reckon she'll be doing
Cora
that.
Cora was 40 when she kicked that 4 against Geelong.
Yeah.
Just an unbelievable talent.
Yeah. She would be similar. Speaking of Rocky Krantz, like, she'd be someone that you could put in most sports and she would be that adaptable that she would just dominate.
50 games, 55 goals.
Yeah. That's it's a pretty great record.
Oh, incredible record.
Especially when oftentimes the more you kick goals, the more you get attention.
Yep.
Like that happens often, whether it's disposals or goals or just performance in general. The better you become, the more teams analyse that, the more attention you get. We've got Georgie Prasparkas at the moment who's been copping that the whole season. And I've noticed as well with Aisling Maloney, like she's at oftentimes going up for marks with 2 to 3 players hanging off her. So it's very impressive to have kicked, 55 from 50?
50 from 50. Yeah, that's her last game was her 50th.
Pretty incredible. Yeah.
Well, when we're wrapping up sport for the year,
mm-hmm.
will one of the lines of the year be, it's not fair?
In what context?
Oscar Piastri.
Oh. We haven't even spoken about Formula One yet.
That radio conversation back with the team and him going, it's not fair, is some of the best stuff.
Oh, but I think that's part of the reason why I just love the Formula One so much. I think they do such a good job. And I think they've previously done it better as well. Like I don't know if they're adjusting to the new audience that's come since Drive to Survive's come out and the drama that's come with that and just the authenticity to athletes' emotion, what's going on in the moment. And oftentimes you'll hear things on the radio like what you mentioned from Oscar Piastri, and he'll go back then into the media pen later and justify himself and try and say the right thing off the back of that. But I think the F1 does such a great job at showing raw emotion. And again, I don't blame him. I'm team OP. I used to love Lando Norris. I still do. But I think everyone's talking about Oscar Piastri's villain arc coming. Pretty clear that when he's in the media pen, you know, trying to do his post-race review and whatnot, and the rest of the team are up there on the stage celebrating the Constructors' Championship. I think someone said they're like, either that is by accident and that's not good enough, or it's on purpose. Like, I don't know what's worse. have we got a race this weekend?
Nah, week off before. I've got the Singapore off to the Circuit of the Americas for the United States GP.
Piggy.
Yes.
Piggy.
No, Piggy's Vegas.
Damn it.
Yeah, the upside down
Piggy's Vegas. Yeah. Okay.
And I'll tell you what, the Brazil track looks like the Seattle Seahawk from the NFL logo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when have we got the Seahawk?
That is Brazil is the first weekend of November.
Okay.
Yep.
A little bit longer.
Yes. Oh, second weekend of November.
Yeah.
So we go United States, Mexico, Brazil, Vegas, Qatar and Abu Dhabi to finish.
Yeah.
So six, it's still 6 to go.
Yeah.
It's a long season.
It's a massive season.
Because it used to finish when Adelaide had the Grand Prix. Mm. That was usually Melbourne Cup weekend or thereabouts.
Mm. Yeah.
So the season finished in early November.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and started sort of late March-ish. Now we're starting late Feb.
Yeah.
And we're rolling through to, what's that first weekend of December in Abu Dhabi.
It's so interesting. I find myself, like I mentioned as well, whatever sport you are in as an athlete, thinking about what it must be like for other athletes in different codes, different sports. Like I've mentioned, relative to me in the AFL, I think a lot about, I'm sitting there cooked, but I'm thinking about how long the men's season is. And I sit there and watch a single race of F1 and the fact that they're flying across the entire world. Mm. And I'm like, WA is not that far.
Yeah. Sorry, I apologise. I start in March testing, but testing's in February. So there's your pre-season.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm just counting how many Grand Prix, 11, 14, 17, 20, 24 Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of
it. It's enormous, yeah.
And like it used to be, you very rarely got back-to-back Grand Prix. There were always a gap.
Yeah.
But now because of 24.
Now oftentimes there's just, race after race, race after race. Yeah.
Depends on, I suppose, how far you got to travel. Like the last bit of the season is three consecutive weekends.
Yeah.
And they go from Vegas to Qatar.
Yeah.
Qatar to Abu Dhabi's not far, but there's still a bit.
Do you think about the race, how the structure of a race week as well, in terms of having three practices, a qualifying, sometimes sprint races in there, and then the actual race, like, let alone the weight of that and the weight of that on the driver, the weight of that on the team and everyone I think it's an incredible spectacle to look at when you think about the amount of organisation and money, might I say, that goes into having like this the same sort of fan-based experience all across the world.
Hmm.
Grandstands, tracks laid out, like all that kind of stuff to be able to make that happen. I'm like, how do the cars get there? How do the parts get there? How do all these things happen? There's a lot of planning that goes into it, clearly.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of money too.
My family friend used to work on the Adelaide track, but when it became just a touring car track, so the Clipsal 500.
And
their build would start 6 months out.
Yeah.
Because it was a street circuit.
100%. Long before it's ever spoken about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
We have to wrap up, but we have to do, when you do Bowie's Best
the
first?
The usuals. I'll do Bowie's Best first because I love speaking about my teammates, obviously, but there's some incredible around the comp performances that I will speak about afterwards. Bowie's Best. Wait, is Bowie's Best? No. Cat that caught my eye. That's what I'm doing first.
You want to do Cat that caught your eye?
Yes, I'd love to do Cat that caught my eye first.
Whom? Or honourable mentions?
Honourable mention. Amy McDonald.
Yep.
I think she had 25?
Yeah, you're on the mark.
Either way, she was a higher end, if not the highest, of our stat sheet for us, which, as I'm sure the listeners know by now, is not by any means everything to me, but I think this was a game for us that AMAC really made those disposals count. And oftentimes as well, when we felt we were under the pump with Carlton in terms of peppering our defence, AMAC was super strong at getting the ball forwards for us. And at times, I think we often were overusing the ball through handball, and she was able just to get on the boot, which is super beneficial.
Yep.
But the cat that caught my eye for this week, Emma Kilpatrick. What an absolute legend of a person. She's actually won our internal player of the round this week, which is voted by us as players.
Do you get anything?
No, you don't. It's so interesting you ask that. You don't get anything but your photo on a pin board.
Right.
And the love and respect to your teammates for getting player of the round.
Shouldn't ask based on what's gone down at Geelong this week.
No, we get nothing.
There is no third party arrangement.
And then Dan also does this, it's called the Non-Coaches Award, which is done by his wife, Tanya.
So she has
a perspective on the game, and oftentimes she will just give a little mention / shout out to the player that oftentimes won't get recognised from a statistics or football brain or just someone that Tanya was like, they've just done amazing. But Emma Kilpatrick for this week, it's so interesting when you're on the footy field because she would have said sorry to me about four times. Sorry to me about missing me for a kick or like, should have handballed it there or should have like, you pull yourself apart on the footy field and then you get to the review, you get to the end of the week and realise how much good you actually provide to our group, to the way that we play footy, and call her killer. It sounds weird calling her Emma. Killer just brought that, I thought, for us all game, the way she threw herself at the ball. I think from a fan perspective, from a club, and from a teammate perspective, we're just noticing that more and more with Killer. That's part of the way that she plays and part of the way that part of what we really value as a group is just that, you know, undenying want and drive to throw herself at the ball and run and carry. She ran from across the ground and single-handed pick up and lace someone out. Like, again, I don't know how she's missed out previously. I don't know where she was missing, but she's just someone who has come in for us as a top-up player and had such an enormous impact. So she is the cat that caught my eye.
Hopefully it's another contract for 2026.
I hope so.
And your
Bowie's best.
Not hard, is it?
North Melbourne biased.
Yep.
Who am I going to do? I don't think I can not do the record.
So who will get the three
votes?
Best and fairest votes from this game? There'll be two people vying for it.
Yes. So
Ash Riddell's had 45.
Yep. And you've got Jazz Garner, who's had 29 and 4 goals.
Yep.
So
and 6 clearances.
And 6 clearances.
In like, 78% game time.
Yeah. Which is just, they're freakish numbers. I watched the game. In all due respect, like, we got torn apart by Sydney. Sydney got torn apart by North Melbourne. Yep. Like, Sydney are a very respectable and up-and-coming side, and North Melbourne just made it look like they were at a, you know,
yep,
at a training session. I think they are so consistent in terms of what everyone on the ground is aiming for at the same time, and it's so evident to watch. As we've mentioned, you've got Ash Riddell with 45 disposals. She's broken her record broken her own record multiple times this year.
I think three times.
Three times this year. Like, it's just, you know, astronomical numbers, unheard of in the AFLW. So I think,
don't split them. You can have two best.
Ash Riddell and Jazz Garner. I think I can't get past Jazz Garner because, as I've mentioned, you take the disposal numbers away, but she's kicking 4 goals. I don't know if she's going to rest up forward or she's just doing that as a midfielder.
Mm.
Either way, I just think the ability to have an impact on the game in such an enormous various amount of ways is something that I have so much respect for. I've spoken about that before in terms of being able to impact offensively, defensively, and both of those players, both of those statistically are definitely doing that in tenfold.
All right. So looking at the ladder, I would say everybody, Kangaroos, Melbourne, Hawthorn, Carlton, are all going to play finals. They're all at 6 wins.
Carlton fourth?
Yes.
Yep.
Incredible. 6-2. They've got Sydney this week.
Yeah.
You're probably barracking for Carlton.
Okay. Where is Sydney?
They're ninth, a game ahead of you guys.
We're 10th.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, let's just say, let's take care of the Giants, but you want Sydney to lose to Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
You want Collingwood maybe to cause an upset over the Saints.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Would be in the perfect world. West Coast play Adelaide, one of those two teams, and there's not much percentage between, but one of those two teams will lose, unless they play a draw. Draw is not what you want.
Yeah.
You want one of those two teams losing,
which
would bring you to back within a game of the top eight with three to play.
It's doable. We just have to be
want is you probably want Adelaide to beat West Coast.
Yes.
So that when you're playing West Coast next week, you could join them on 20 points.
Yeah, okay.
Is what you want.
So I need to be calling and talking to you about all this
stuff. Nah, but I'll just confuse.
I'm just so far. I leave this to my people.
Jackie Parry
and Tom King.
No, yes. Don't.
I just keep my nose out of it and try and play the best we can.
I can't see Port beating Brisbane, but that wouldn't hurt either.
Did Richmond beat...
Yes, Richmond beat Adelaide.
What? Richmond, good on you.
Yep.
I've been in that position before, winless, and that's incredible.
I think the stat I saw was the only time that Adelaide's conceded more than 50 points in a game.
Wow, ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah, Adelaide have held on a couple times this year, but just made it, I think, similar with our situation a couple of games before, but they always know how to win.
Yep.
If anything, I think that's what we're missing at the moment is that remembering what it takes to flip the switch and, you know, turn gears and remember how to win. But, yeah, God, hats off to Richmond. That's incredible.
Can you remember how to win this week?
Yes. Kingy, yes. Try my best.
It's elimination final time.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, good to see you back, Pack.
Thank you. Thank you, Swiper.
Bye, Bowie.
Bye, Kingy. The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.